And so on this day, Tuesday, April the 14th, just after the midday mark, noon, I welcome Amina Nauru to the interview for Yoga Radicals.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be invited.
Well, it's really a labor of love, Amina, that I've decided to continue, really just to continue to pull out the stories of this evidence of the transformative practice of yoga from individuals at all levels. Mm. So in this interview, we will follow a similar path that you had followed when you responded to the community healing and social activism forum. So it won't be unfamiliar to you. But what I would like to invite us to imagine together before we start, that in fact, there's a new possibility I'm just putting on another recording device for safety. Mm-hmm. That as we begin, there's a new possibility, Amina, that although you have been part of all of this, and what we'll be focusing on is your own personal leadership journey, that as we develop together, that this moving from me consciousness to we consciousness, that we practice together during this interview so that we feel free to say, hey, wait a minute, maybe that wasn't really what I wanted to say. I'm coming into a different place now, and let me reconsider my comment or my response as I settle into this we consciousness place. Make sense?
Sure, absolutely. Is this an hour?
Yes.
Timing an hour? Okay.
Does that work for you?
Yeah, I have a call at 1, but it's Zoom, so it's, you know, Zooming from one thing to the other, so it'll be
fun. That's right. Okay, so having had settled and just getting ready to be very present, and you will get a copy of the transcript, Amina, so you can change your words before I start playing with them for the book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I would invite you not to take notes and just to be here now. Okay, feet on the ground, spine straight. So this is about your leadership journey, and I'd like you to think about which one you'd like to focus on. And you don't have to name it. And I know that you've been in co-leadership positions, but this is really about you in the context that you choose to ground in now, okay? That makes sense? So I'd like to ask you first, from this initiation or invocation perspective, how did your inspiration arise for this project that you're involved in now?
When you say this project, are you talking about the Singing Dragon writing project? What project?
About the project that you want to focus on for the purpose of this interview.
Okay.
So this is about you taking a stand within a project that's in the midst of being manifested by you for the sake of creating something bigger than just your personal inspiration. This is about moving from me to we. So we like to ground it in some project so that you can relay it from that perspective.
Okay, so the projects that I'm working on now are not individual. I don't have any single-minded projects that I'm working on currently. What I do individually is work in the community through my business called Posh Yoga, which is, you know, bringing trauma-sensitive classes to juvenile detention centers and adult prisons. So any projects that we're, I'm going, if I'm going to take a project to use as focal point for this, it's a collaborative project that I'm doing with Retreat to Spirit or with Pam.
Perfect.
But that's co-leadership.
Perfect. So that's what I just wanted to clarify so that we can really stay grounded in that co-leadership model from which we're going to be speaking from today. Perfect. Okay, good. Thank you. So how did this co-leadership initiative arise?
Well, if we're going to go back to day one, it kind of just organically happened that, I discovered, I met Pam at a Yoga Service Council conference. We talked, we kept in touch, and I guess it was almost 2 years, 3 years later, we were on the board together. And so from that initiation of connection and knowing that we work very well together, we have come together to really combine our skills and experiences to create something that is larger and bigger than us that we feel can benefit and help advance society, people who are in who are looking for tools and a way to navigate life and the realities of life, people who are coming from backgrounds such as my own, and in communities that I serve. So that's how it developed, and we are working on a number of projects. So I think I'm speaking to our project as a whole, like all of the many projects that are within our co-leadership project.
Okay, good. Thank you for navigating the constellation of those projects as a co-leader. So it's a balancing act is what I'm observing as you settle into the conceptual frame here. So as this lands in your heart and mind, realizing that there is a focal point that is quite expansive from a co-leadership perspective and that it's different than an individual project. Next question is, how did you, as part of this co-leadership team or collection of energy, we could even name it, that you and Pam are stewarding, how did you begin to establish other support, other people who might in fact measure and help steward your precious ideas as a co-leader? How did others start to get involved?
It was another organic happening. We were just out doing what we do, in our respective positions, showing up at conferences, hosting talks, being in meetings on Zoom and things like that. And, after our tenure with Yoga Service Council ended, we realized people were coming to us and saying that they want to help. We want to be a part of whatever you're doing. Like, talk to us. Let us know what your next steps are. Let me know how I can assist or, how they could help further whatever it is our next move was going to be. And we had our organization or company, Retreat to Spirit, already set up, but had not been feeding it, because of our full-time positions, or it's actually part-time positions, which were requiring full-time hours with the nonprofit Yoga Service Council. So it was, and the feedback that we got from, you know, the people who wanted to help us was, we've been watching. We've seen, you know, how you work. We like your co-leadership model. And we see the work and the impact that, you know, you two working together has had on the community, the yoga community. So it was more of the folks coming into us and saying, use me however you want, let me know what's happening and you know, how we can help, as opposed to reaching out to say, hey, can you, you know, be a part of whatever we're doing, our organization. So we were able to call on, we were able to, you know, get back in touch with our allies and say, here's the projects that we're working on. If you have an interest, you know, to support or see yourself in this or part of it, you know, this would be great, because we are taking this organization, our LLC, to the next step or the next level as far as, you know, business growth goes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. So as this initiation and invocation practice that you and Pam were diving into as embodiment practices, almost, it sounds like, from your perspective of being practitioners in yoga-based practice, and I'm sure other practices from the many other traditions that you've perhaps had contact with, were there a set of practices or even some sacred texts as you began to further explore and experiment, particularly after that first iteration at the first not-for-profit, where you were really grounding in real time your co-leadership? I'm curious, as you made that transition to the next iteration of your co-leadership, the retreat to spirit, responding to folks who are coming and saying, you guys have something. I'd like to go, it's almost like, what's supporting you from behind, from those sacred traditions? Can you articulate a little bit about that? And if there's one particular one, Amina, that comes to mind, offer that, if you would, please.
Well, it's several things. I think my own personal practice of meditation plays a heavy role in this, like the rooting part of, you know, my self-inquiry and holding myself accountable, you know, the end of the night checklist of, you know, what I could have done better, how I could have showed up differently, what was great, what, you know, and using all of that as inventory and to inform, you know, how I show up and do the work that I do. So it is the conscious relationship with myself that I would hold paramount to, you know, feeding how I show up. Also, in that comes the connection to spirit. So that's my ancestors, that's my spirit guides, that's, you know, the spirit realm that I tap into on a daily basis for support, for conscious awareness, you know, to stay grounded, to receive information. And I feel like there's a third thing I want to say, but that's my top two. You know, I am rooted in my practices of meditation, which helped me to, you know, have that conscious relationship piece with myself so I can show up and have conscious relationships with others. And then, you know, my strong support system from spirit. Oh, and then the third piece would be my support system from mentors like yourself, people who are, you know, helping us in our business, as well as personal mentors who are outside of my yoga community that have had the history with me as a friend to be able to guide me and let me know, you know, my goal points and where I'm coming from versus where I am now. So, and okay. I have a therapist that helps too.
Okay. Thank you. So this listening is what I hear you kind of edging into, this listening. And in this model of inquiry, it's a very specific question about within the meditation, within the support and the connection that you just beautifully named. Is there a way to describe how you, as a particular listener, get guidance from the universe? Your sacred connection with all that is, or however you want to share that.
So how the guidance comes in to me is texture. And I've tried to explain this to some folks, but when I start to explain it, I judge it and so like, I don't, that doesn't sound like, do you understand what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So I will attempt to explain the mess, how the messages come, because it is, it's visceral, it's felt, it's something that I feel enter my bodies, you know, and then I have to, so it comes in as a texture, like, but not as a tactile texture. It's not mm-hmm. like something I can physically touch, but a texture as in vibration. This vibration feels soft, or this vibration feels like trauma. This vibration feels like abuse. This vibration feels like love and support and understanding. So the messages from spirit and universe come into me as textures which penetrate, you know, my emotional body, right? And that's where it gets translated. So the translation happens through my emotional body, my heart, spirit, and then I'm able to understand the language, like what is being given, and then, you know, process it to be whatever I need it to be. Like, okay, I got that. Thank you. Now I know what my next step should be or how I should proceed. I don't know if that was.
Yes. So this imaging of the how moving from me to we works is what we're kind of entering now in the interview now. So as you described that textual quality of your personal knowing and then your personal translation of this phenomena or this information that comes through, and then your very particular naming of it, and then your choosing about how to use it, right? So that's what I heard you say relative to your mapping process around your initial observation of what is Amina's moving from me consciousness and then to we consciousness. So what we're really diving into here can be looked at in so many different ways. It could be looked at as a kaleidoscope, a fractal. It could be looked at as a star constellation, the how we connect the dots, making images from the stars. And so the quality of the knowing, of this sacred knowing that is at the heart and soul of this interpretation of moving from me to we consciousness, wants us to struggle so that the sacred thread actually is preserved. So that's what we're really wanting to enter into. And I'm watching you take a deep breath and kind of relax a little, because that's the space that we know about each other. I just want to say that. And so while we energize it together, and what my hope and inspiration is that the many who have signed up for this Yoga Radicals book will help lift up and cultivate the field of our yoga therapy world, so that the we consciousness of the sacred translation actually helps to impact more people in the world. And so that's where we're going. So thank you. So we now have a moment, Amina, to having had realized the seed from which your particular initiation is arriving, right, and becoming articulate. Now this question in your co-leadership model, the co-initiation in the co-leadership model, the blending and the extending of these multiple views of the sacred personal seeds into a new we. Okay, so this crossroads, this blending, this networking, very explicitly in your experience, because you have been grounded in the commitment, I heard you say, to doing it with your co-leader, with Pamela. And so the next question is, as you hold that quality of your me-ness, right? Mm-hmm. The sacred me-ness, I'd like you to consider, what's it like as you walk across the bridge toward we-ness with Pamela and her me-ness? Can you tell me what some of those particular experiences feel like, what you thought about, what you sensed, how it arose?
So you mean as we work together?
Correct.
So this relationship of co-leadership has often felt like a marriage, because I have been married before for 17 years, and which gives me a texture to be able to access when I am interacting in my relationship with Pam. But what I have learned from that texture of marriage is individuality. So going into this leadership relationship with Pam allows me to practice that in a healthy way that I didn't have the tools to do in that marriage. Mm-hmm. So it allows me to, so my meditation and yoga practice, you know, got me to be more connected to myself. So I know when to pull back and allow Pam to be forward and give the platform and support for her to feel empowered in our connection, as well as, you know, and it's mutual actually. So I think we model this for each other, you know, and there are times when I will feel very strongly about something, and perhaps we're reaching a disagreement, but we're able to pull back and just agree to disagree. Well, I see it this way and you see it that way. Let's, you know, sleep on it, touch back in tomorrow, talk about it again, see if anything else comes out of it, you know. And the one of the beautiful things about our connection is that we can pull from our tools. We can say, I need a timeout, or, you know, I need a couple days, or, you know what I mean? And don't hear from each other for a couple days. And then we the other person will say, hey, is everything good? Is it, can we talk? And we're able to do that. And we're able to come back and show up and be present and express and be vulnerable and transparent with each other. You know, and offer that support for wherever we are in our personal life, and as well as, you know, our professional relationship with each other. I'm not sure if I have answered the question, but that is what, you know, I feel when I'm talking about Pam and I, our relationship, and, you know, some of the things that have come up for us.
Okay, thank you. So one of the practices that I engage in as I listen is to understand from this deep generative field, right? The field that's here between us and the field that you're describing around your co-leadership with Pam. And so that deeper quality of listening in is almost like sensing. And you spoke about it like a texture, right? So I just want to make sure that we have that as one of the ways in which you know your current reality. Okay. And so tracking that, naming that, solidifying that, putting that in its place here, and then accessing perhaps, Amina, a different quality of knowing now. And you spoke about moving through your emotional material. And then you spoke about needing time sometimes to take some space, right? So we're actually beginning to enter the field of some of the elemental practices in our ancient traditions, right? You're aware of that, I'm sure. So as we learn through our own personal experience about how these wisdom traditions actually operate in relationship with others, we get to name the how it works through us, right? Mm-hmm. That's just another way of saying, how do I take my personal practice and move it into the collective? Okay, that's the moving from me to we. So next question, so that you can actually go to a different part of how you know, what are some of the qualities that you, upon reflection now, would say that you demonstrate as a co-leader from your practice, from your position, not from the both of you, but from what's important for you? Name some qualities that help support you.
Empathy, compassion, willingness to understand. Most importantly, space. Like, if I did not have the internal space, you know, that I've created through my practices, I would not be able to hold or be present for others, not just my, you know, co-leader, but, you know, society, my family. So I want to say love, but, you know, there's this little, it's a little wavering when I say love, but there's some, I guess, conditions around that part of it. But the love for myself helps me to be able to show up and express or hold love for others. It's maybe that's it, because I don't want to add.
Yeah,
and that's
so. Let's move into kind of a visualization of that quality that you're talking about. As I listen to you, I get an image of moving toward others with these qualities, and then your resource is a kind of returning type of movement. And so, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I observed and listened as I listened into the generative field here together. So an image actually came to my mind And you spoke about this early on, about the root or some kind of rooting. So I'm curious about if you could speak a little more when you had the question about the love, and then you went back to love of self, and then you said that was kind of a condition before you could offer it out. I wanted to learn more about where in your practice you have rooted that condition, that precondition around love for yourself or something similar, that sacred root, let's name it.
What comes to mind, a
text or an image you could use if you didn't want to describe.
Yeah, well, what comes to mind is because I feel like it's not the English language that I'm hearing from you to process. It is the I'm processing feeling or texture, you know. I hear the words, but how it's coming in is not words. So my mental mind is like, I'm not answering the questions, right? But, you know, in my body, I feel like I'm rendering what is being asked. So, you know, from what you just said, what came up for me is, and we're talking about the root through my practice, there were many layers of myself that I had to uncover and peel back that happened through my practice. Did I know that that's what was going to happen? No, but as I practiced, you know, year after year, month after month, you know, retreat after retreat, these things just started to peel away. And you know, the physical expression would be, you know, tears, gut-wrenching pain, you know, like physical pain inside of my belly, things that were being released. And, you know, I've been practicing this yoga and meditation for over 10 years now, and that is the root. Like, I was peeling back, looking back on the practice, the layers were coming off to get to be rooted into the knowing of who I am, the knowing of what I am, and continuing to use that knowing as a source of, you know, of energy to show up for others. So I went way beyond a personality and what comes into the room. No, this is like, I'm showing up with these roots that I've discovered through painstaking, you know, processes, right? And tapping into that on a daily basis as my renewal to come back out into, you know, the world and society. So it is, I can only show up for others and be an effective leader because I have done the work for myself to be an effective leader for me, you know, and harnessing and pulling down into the roots when things feel shaky, when I feel, you know, insecure or jealous or these human qualities start to appear. I know I need to go back to the root, gain more, you know, energy, refill my cup through the roots and bring it back out. Does that feel
right? Yeah. Yeah, as you said, your body renders it. And so rendering is an art form of sculpting. And so I'm curious, and rendering is the making of an image, right? So I'm just curious about if you were to make an image or take a shape with your body or even a hand gesture now, Amina, what would that look like?
The immediate answer is a circle. No.
Okay.
But the immediate, the immediate answer is a circle or a ball, a sphere that has, you know, it looks like the sun to me.
Okay, that's it. So as the inspiration becomes a little bit more accessible, right? That's part of this practice of these deeper interviews, that it becomes an incarnation that aids the moving from me to we, right? And you have your practices that you do as a Mina living as a human being on this earth now, and the universal, right? Which is what we carry with us to offer our gifts out into the world to you, has this particular set of ideas, of names, of qualities. But now this beautiful image and the gesture of the image coming alive. So,
but it feels like it's variable as well.
Okay.
You know, the first thing that came to mind was that picture of like a spear and sun. And then there's another image of just, you know, I want to say like wind, like wind. The picture of, if you could see a visual of wind, you know, moving. And that's the other part.
Okay. So, you know, the image on the invitation to make this interview was an old text of the five elements. I don't know if you grokked that. So I'm just smiling now that we're kind of landing in the elements, which, forget about gurus and lineages. It's all about.
Yeah.
I'm just being very moved by the way in which you made a distinct understanding of the variability of phenomena, and that's how these elements operate, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we're coming down the pike now, so let's just take a moment. I'm smiling here because it's so nice to be with you again. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah, so let me just take a moment to see which next question, or to let you settle in to see if there's anything else that your inspiration, right, your invocation from these ways of knowing want to be further described, or if you wanted to point to a sutra or a story or a teacher, teaching.
Yeah, one of my favorite, I don't have any stories or teachings. Like, I've went through my 500 hour, I've, you know, had experience with the Bhagavad Gita and, you know, the Buddha stories and religious texts, the Bible, the Quran, all these things I have pulled in to my being, you know, just for intellectual purposes. But when it comes to like teaching, I prefer to teach from my own experiences in life. And you know, I have a couple of sayings or quotes that I just stand by, and it's part of my my classes. One is, you know, you can't see the picture if you're in the frame. And that is my reminder to pull back, like get out of the picture. Like you're too tactile, you're all in there. Like, of course you're upset, you're feeling, you know, triggered, you're feeling this and that because you're in it, you know. Come back out, view it, you know, and gather the information and decide, ask for assistance and decide how to move forward. And another one of my most favorite quotes is, the serenity prayer. It's like, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change. Because I struggled a lot of years in my life trying to control everything. You know, being a survivor of childhood sexual trauma, you know, but not knowing at the time why in my adulthood I had to have control over everything, you know, but taking the time to do some self-inquiry and read some books and tap into Deepak Chopra and metaphysics and all of these different texts and pulling that in to help myself to understand where that control or need to control came from, and also anger issues and where that was rooted and stemming from. So the serenity prayer, the picture, get out of the frame. Those are two things that I, you know, live by and would like to extend an offer to, people who read this book, and to also to let yourself, you be your own guru, your own teacher, you know. We can take the Buddha story, we can take Jesus, we can take, these are external things when you have it here within yourself to access, right? We can use those stories as examples and those teachings as examples to help inform us, right? To get to the realness, the experience of experiential of yourself and how you should live or show up.
Right. I love the way your hands go out and then bring them into your heart space when you describe that, from saying this experience is right here, it's all around us, and that we've been given so many wonderful guides, and it's different now that we are moving into this new time. And so as we finish this interview now and we look to the future together, Amina, just take a moment to do a little body scan in the environment, the words that you've spoken, the images that you've created for us and for the folks who will be reading the words in the book. And this seeding, right? This seeding of this collective, this moving from me to we consciousness. What is it, if you were that soothsayer, that truth teller from all that is, from the sacred time, what do you see emerging as a result of your co-leadership and what you've been seeding?
I see.
Or feel or sense. What is it?
I see people being connected through their heart spaces. So, you know, there was a practice that you led us through at the Sitar IAYT presentation that, you know, when we first met. And that was the physical response, you know, put your hand on the person's back and, you know, and then we turned around, and I've viscerally felt that, right? But the thought or the sight is what comes up now, the sight, the actual visual of that, which is this area, this space, this warmth, this light coming out as a cord and connecting to the next person and the next person and the next person and the next person. So through the work that I'm doing, I'm just helping other folks to see that light, that ball that's there. They will recognize it, feel it, sense it, and then connect to the next person's light. And it will just continue to go on like candles lighting each other. That's what I see happening. That's what I feel, you know, my work is, my mission is for being here on earth at this time in this body. Yeah. And, you know, if I'm not working towards that, then I feel, you know, I'm just taking my life for granted. Like, that is the work that I have come to do. And igniting the next person to see their gifts so they can do the same thing that I am doing. It's not hierarchical. It's, we are all peers working to, you know, uplift and open and awaken the rest of humanity.
And on that, I bow to you, my dear friend, Amina.
Thank you. I bow to you as well.
We will be in touch forevermore. I can feel it.
Absolutely.
Take good care.
Thank you. Thank you for all that you've done, you know, helping me in my process.
I'm here for you. Always here for you.
Great. Yeah.
Be in touch.
Thanks, Allie. Have a great day.